Welcome to the IT Babble podcast, where we talk about educational technology and a whole lot more. You can find our podcast on iTunes, please subscribe, or your very favorite podcasting app. Also, you can find our blog at www.itbabble.com. Welcome back, everybody, to the IT Babble podcast. Actually, this is the IT Babble emergency podcast.
Yeah, we don't have time for all these introductions, Patrick. We got to get on this.
Let's do it, Tony. Let's do it.
Yeah, this is Tony. I'm in Houston, and yep. I'm doing fine.
And I'm Patrick in Indianapolis, and things are great here too. So, airlines, Tony, and Apple are going to war.
That's right. So what happened is this morning I read this like email in my newsfeed, and I was sitting there thinking about all of my good friends who work overseas. Yeah. And a lot of them, especially in Asia, are getting ready to have their first holiday, which, you know, I already greatly miss, the, like, fall break. In almost all the schools in Asia, you get fall break. It's like spring break. It's like full week off. Anyway, I started to realize, especially at my previous job, that every single teacher has a laptop that looks exactly what is not supposed to be on the plane anymore. So I actually sent a message to my old school, and this is what the message said, and this is why I wanted to do the podcast and what I wanted to talk about today. The message said, it doesn't matter what laptop you have. It matters what the laptop looks like. And if you're, like, especially if you're in Asia, like Korea, China, Japan, and you go to the airport, they're not going to run your serial number or read some FAA warning. They're going to have a photo, probably from, like, the news, and they're going to look at that photo, and they're going to look at your laptop, and they're just going to take it.
Yeah, they're going to say if no. Basically,
if you have a laptop that just only has C ports, it doesn't matter if it's 2 or 4, there's a chance they're just going to say, no, you can't take it.
Yep. Forget it.
Now, here's the bad part. If it happens when you're leaving, so like you're let's say you live in Korea, you leave Korea, they'll hold it at the airport. You can get it on the way back. They're not going to steal it. But if you get through Korea and you go to like Thailand, and then on the way back, they decide not to let you bring it back, they'll hold it, but they're not allowed to mail it because of the battery exploding.
Yeah.
And you're not allowed to fly with it. So it's going to live there for a really long time until you can find a boat to take you back from, like, let's say, Thailand to Korea. And this just occurred to me. I was thinking about it because last year there was a teacher, and this person came back from Christmas and said they had lost their laptop. Now, they should have told me when it happened, which was at the top of the break, but they told me when they got back. So they let it go like 3 weeks. Because they put their laptop, they were going to China, they put their laptop in a checked bag, which you also can't do. Now, normally what happens is, like, if you did that in Korea, I can tell you they would find it, they would pull your bag out, they wouldn't let you get on the plane, they'd make you deal with it. But, you know, if you're maybe in China, and you took it to China in your carry-on, and you're like, hey, I'm going to put it in my bag to go to America. I can tell you for a fact sometimes in Shanghai that they don't do that. They just take stuff out of your bag, and they put it in a lost and found and hope that you will one day come back and find it. And that lost and found area, if anyone's ever seen it in the Shanghai airport, you don't want your stuff in there. You're never going to get it back. So it's just like it's like its own, like, you know, like city. So, so she's like, did somebody steal it? And I'm like, no one stole it. You weren't supposed to put it in there. They didn't want to hold the flight up. So they took it out and they didn't pay attention to anything. And they just assume you're going to be able to call in Mandarin within 24 hours. Cause they're going to think, oh, she's going to realize, you know, that she lost the laptop. She's going to call. You didn't do that. You waited 3 weeks, so they just assumed you didn't want it. Right. Like, and anyway, as soon as I saw that this morning, I'm like, we got to put the word out. Do not travel with your Apple laptops on this holiday until all of this nonsense is over.
That's right.
Because you can't put up a fight.
No, no, it's simple. It's like, okay, they're like, fine, keep your computer, but you can't get on the plane. That's what they're going to do. And then if you get all huffy about it, they call security, and then they escort you out of the airport.
Now, I don't know about domestic flights here in the U.S. I don't know how they'll work, but I can't imagine the TSA is going to, like, look up serial numbers.
No,
they're just going to be like, is that one of the confiscated or one of the ones you're not allowed to take? And you're supposed to say no. And then they'll look at it and be like, oh, it looks like this pic. I just feel like they're going to have a picture, right?
Yeah.
They're like, oh, we have a bulletin, like a warning. It looks like that, so you can't take it.
And if you're flying through someplace, if you're flying out of like Atlanta, or Denver, LAX, LaGuardia, these huge airports, they got a line of like 100 people behind you. They got to get through it. They're not going to sit there and discuss this with you. They're just going to do it. And folks, if you don't know, the TSA, whatever they confiscate, if it's not perishable, they auction it off.
What?
Yeah,
I didn't know that.
Yeah, every state has their own TSA auction. I think you have to go there in
person. Man, I want to go to one.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to get nail clippers, definitely, because you're not supposed to take nail clippers on a plane. They'll confiscate those. So they have like just boxes and boxes of nail. You can buy like a whole box for like $5 or something, super cheap or something.
And yeah. Then open a store.
Heck yeah. Heck yeah, yeah. You can look it up, TSA auctions. And that's probably where your computer will end up, because they're not going to keep it forever, and they're certainly not going to reach out to you. They don't care. They do not care. So, yeah, people, this is an emergency. You got to pay attention, or you're going to lose your stuff. You're going to lose your computer. You're going to lose it all.
Yeah. Yeah. You're not going to be able to be like, but mine has the touch bar. No one's going to care.
No one's going to care. No one's going to care. No, not at all. And if you look at this Mac Rumors one, it has ports on the side. So you can't even see the touch bar. But like you said, they're going to say, oh, is it silver? Is it 15-inch screen? It does have a big apple on the front of the cover, on the lid. That's probably it. Let's just take it. You know.
Oh. Yep. Better safe than sorry.
That's right. You know what people could do to avoid all this, Tony? You know what they can
buy? They could buy like a Dell.
Yeah, and not just any Dell, a Dell Chromebook. Because Dell and Google are teaming up to provide more enterprise-level Chromebooks.
Okay, can we just take a step back?
Yeah, let's do it. I was trying to segue,
Yeah, no, you segued fine, but I just want to bring up the fact that I came up with this concept, was like last year, after I tested some stuff out, and I was like, this is the best model. It is a Chromebook, and in my case, Amazon, like, AppFlow or Workspaces. So I just want to go on the record as saying that IT Babble was way ahead of the curve on this issue.
Way ahead of the curve. Yes, absolutely.
Yes, but I only glanced through the article, so I'm super excited. So go for it. I'm going to be quiet now.
All right. It's not a very exciting article. It's pretty much that, you know, they have these Chromebook, you know, a lot of Chromebooks out there are $200, $200 to $400 range, and they're geared for education or for people who don't do much work on the internet at all, right? Nothing. But a business, who might need a more powerful processor, larger internal memory, better graphics, better webcam, more business-oriented device. So they are making this line that's really just geared for enterprise, for companies to buy them in bulk, that go anywhere from like, you know, I think in the upper $500 up to like $800. And some of them have like ridiculous, you know, like 32 gigabytes of RAM. Like that's ridiculous. A terabyte of storage. That's a lot. So that's pretty much it. But what I'm really excited about is that we talked about this on IT Babble a few years ago, was that Google was thinking of doing away with Chrome OS altogether and just trying to like merge it with Android and make something new. But here they're obviously doubling down on Chrome OS and they're going to be developing it much, 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 much for a long time, much more, which is great. This is fantastic.
Yeah, because now that they have the integration, like why not? I think they were probably looking at doing more of like an Ubuntu type thing, so it was more of an operating system.
Mm-hmm.
But now they're like, you know, partner up. And it's just, I don't know. I think it's a better way to go. You know, we've talked about this before. What do you really need a Windows computer for? Excel, right? That's Excel, basically
yep.
it.
Yep.
And editing video and Adobe.
Yeah.
You can actually edit audio pretty well now, like online, if you, you know, simple stuff. But like,
yeah, there's
I would say media, tools. I would say MediaWork and Excel.
And evermore, I mean, these online video editors, as internet speeds increase across the world, they're becoming more and more reliable. And
yeah,
more features.
I agree.
So, yeah.
And I think, you know, even programming on a Chromebook started getting better the last couple of years, where you could actually start programming and saving your stuff into Google Cloud and or uploading it to a server and running it. I mean, I know you can do JavaScript and quite a few other things now, so I think that's going to come around pretty fast. So you won't even really need Windows to do that unless you're like a serious developer. But if you're just doing like you know, JavaScript, HTML, CSS, I think you can do all that on a Chromebook. So it's big. I mean, it's lightweight. I mean, if no one has ever really used a Chromebook, you need to see, like, they just open up, they start immediately.
Yeah.
They're really fast. You can't lose anything on a Chromebook either.
No, because everything you put everything in Google Drive.
Yeah.
So, and for, I mean, geez, it's, and when you have something that has, gosh, Chromebooks, they just, and they're much more secure than a Windows machine, even more secure than an Apple computer, which is what a lot of people don't seem to realize, is that it's all baked in there because it's just Chrome. It's Chrome OS.
Right.
So there's no really, there's not a much of an operating system that can be infected. And if it does get infected, you have this feature called PowerWash, where it just resets it back to factory default, and whatever was on there is all of a sudden gone.
Right, and that's great for students, because like, you can just reset it, and if you've paid your, you know, if you paid the license to the machines, and you've got everything set up, and it's pushing everything from your Google Apps domain, it's just going to push it.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, you can force re-enroll, so even when it just automatically, it says, oh, this is your school's Chromebook, because I can see the serial number, and it matches with what we have on file, so it's all automatically re-enrolled. It's great. It's fantastic. And they're repairable, too. Now, maybe these higher-end models here for enterprise aren't, but the $200 to $300 range, that's where we get our Chromebooks. You know, the screen isn't great, but I can replace it in 5 minutes. You know, the keyboard's not awesome, but I can completely replace the keyboard in like 20 minutes. Like I can fix it. I can fix it much cheaper than paying somebody else to fix an iPad. It's much
right.
cheaper. Yeah. And quicker. So I don't have to send it out. It's not gone for a week. I have the part. I just pull it out of a cabinet and I just fix it. And I'm not a super handy person. You know, I'm not, you know, building my own PC or anything like that. These things are so simple and they just work really well. And they have a keyboard and a trackpad and everything looks good. But no, I'm excited. This is great. This is good. And
yeah, it's really good.
Yep. And I say with Tony, I think the big question is: Are you going to sue on IT Babble's behalf? Are you going to sue?
No, I don't think I can sue anybody. But it is kind of annoying. I mean, come on. Give us some credit. You know, Amazon apparently is expanding their like education division. So
yeah.
I am going to track that and see, you know, what's going on. I know in Asia they're testing everything at the university level, but it's still the most affordable integration I've seen. I don't know how much the VMware is going to cost. I actually own VMware so that I can run a variety of operating systems on my Windows 10 machine, because VMware is really stable and it's nice. And I used to use free stuff, but I just got sick of configuring it. And every time I updated it, I had to like rebuild the file and boot system that would start it up. So that way, like on Windows 10, if I need to do something with Linux or something, I can put the Linux on the VMware, start it up, and it's really nice, and it's very efficient, and so I'm certain that the solution is going to be it's going to be good. Like I it'll probably look seamless.
Yeah, I got an email from them. Gosh, when was this? This was 3 days ago, about exactly what you're talking about AWS for VMware. Yeah, and they have webinars all the time, every month, Tony, every stinking month. So you can, about all sorts of things. It's pretty awesome. Yeah, the one I attended, one about hosting your video, because you don't like hosting on YouTube. For good reason.
Right.
Because YouTube could decide, you know what, we don't like that channel, or there's a copyright strike. And
well, I don't have a lot of time. I don't have a lot of time anymore to, like, worry about music and stuff. I mean,
yep.
So anytime I make videos now that might end up on YouTube, I don't put anything in them. They're just, like, me as brief as possible speaking, and then that's it.
Yeah. There is even YouTube is suing a user. I don't know if you heard this, but this guy, he would find... he would find Minecraft videos, people who are monetizing Minecraft videos, and immediately claim two copyright strikes against them. And then he would reach out to them personally and be like, hey, $300, and I'll say that these strikes were an error. Or if you don't pay me $300, I'm going to file a third strike, which will get rid of your channel. And there's nobody to talk to. It's Google. You can't pick up the phone and call Google. You can't do that, or Facebook, or any of these places.
So, right.
But if you put your stuff on Amazon Web Services, well, you know, it's pretty much yours. Amazon's not going to take it down or anything like that. And they'll do live translation. They do all sorts of crazy stuff, like completely unnecessary stuff. But anyway, it's there for you if you like.
Well, I just launched some stuff at my new school, and I'm actually using the private Office 365 streaming system.
Oh.
And... as with everything, Microsoft's interface is really horrible, but it allows you to hashtag videos. And so, like, if I hashtag all the Apple videos as hashtag Apple and Office 365 support, hashtag Office 365, those hashtags make a URL. And so we can link the URL on the school website, and when you click the link, it shows you all the Apple videos and doesn't show you anything else. So you don't have to worry about the annoying Microsoft interface.
That's really nice. One thing that we ran into since we're talking videos here and with Google Apps, we got an email from Google over the summer. We have a video. Our school has a video channel, very much like your school, very much like many schools out there. And it's a YouTube channel. And we got an email saying, because we are Google Apps for Education, we can no longer have a branded YouTube channel.
I got that information as well. Luckily, the branded channel didn't have more than like two videos on it. I had actually uploaded all the videos under my personal account.
Yeah.
But I did set up like a school like branded, and yeah, we had to take them down.
Yeah, we had to, we were able to migrate them to exactly what you said, a personal account. But that just goes to show you, if you have it on Amazon Web Services, they don't care, because they don't care it's a video. They just see it as data.
Yeah.
That's all they care about. And they're like, did you pay for your data this month? Yep. Okay, fine. You're good. You're okay.
Yeah, and if somebody wants to sue you for it, they have to come after you.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. They don't. There's none of this YouTube, and so yeah. There definitely is. We were able to transfer everything, but we had not two videos. We had, you know, over 100 videos, and our person who was in charge of that, he started downloading them, and you know, these were like 9 gig files, and he had to download like 7 of them. And so yeah, it's okay. We got it transferred. We didn't have to re-upload anything. It was good, but it just, you know, it came out of nowhere, and all of a sudden all of our videos and our content was at risk. And there's nothing we can do about it. Nothing we can do. Anyway.
That's right, but you know what you can do? Say no to taking your Apple laptop on an aircraft.
That's right. Just don't do it. Go out and buy yourself a cheap Chromebook or
we gotta start a business where we're just like letting people like lease laptops as they land.
Oh, that's a good idea. That's a great idea. And with a SIM card, too. And a SIM card.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Done.
That's fantastic. Oh, another thing on these Google Dell Chromebooks, many of them are going to have SIM cards in them. So they can be connected anywhere. Oh. They don't have to connect to Wi-Fi. They can connect into anything.
Yeah. That's very cool.
That is. All right. But anyway, that's it. That's all I've got, Tony. That's it. It's a quick, down and dirty emergency podcast.
That's right. Emergency Labor Day weekend podcast. So everybody, we've done our best. We're trying to give back here. Hope you take our advice.
That's right. And as G.I. Joe says, knowing is half the battle, and now you know. And so that's half the battle, I guess. I don't know what I'm saying here. Anyway, for IT Babble, I'm Patrick.
I'm Tony.
And we will catch you on the next episode. Keep babbling out there, people.